Want consistent color for every job? Mylow's Pro Rewards members get a 20% paint discount on future purchases after paint annual qualifying spend reaches $3,000. Plus, order eligible in-stock paint and paint supplies by 2 p.m. for free same-day delivery by 8 p.m. Improving is easy at Lowe's. Excludes spray paint and mist tints. More exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Subject to change. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Same-day delivery valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. Details at Lowe's.com/same-day-delivery.
Do you want a podcast?
I think we should podcast today. I think we should get into the I Mom So Hard podcast, which, by the way, if you haven't subscribed to our YouTube I Mom So Hard podcast channel, you should do that because not only can you listen to us, you can see us. And I promise I am not wearing head-to-toe Fendi. I am wearing 1980s overalls.
They're really cute, though. They're like this bright yellow. I love them. But are you about to pop and lock?
Yeah.
What's happening?
I just want to wear everything that's comfortable. That's my thing right now. I can't, if I, jean shorts, they sometimes, let's just say the jeans are tight and the seam is unforgiving. So I'm not feeling jean shorts right now. I don't want to go shopping. So I have this, I overcompensated by buying a two sizes too large pair of overalls that I can't not live in. I've hit
they're super cute. No, they're super cute. I am all for comfort right now because I'm otherwise entirely uncomfortable because being at home so much, my body is entirely failing me. Like I knew that my psyche would go first because that was a three-legged table to begin with. But now my body has entirely shit the bed. I mean, like when we first had to start staying at home in March or whatever, I got a hemorrhoid and I was like, okay, universe, I get it. You have a terrific sense of humor. That's here. You're going to be sitting down all the time for all these Zoom meetings. Let me just join your butt out.
I'm your friend. I'm going to come out of your butt and look like a bubble. It's going to be a good time on any Zoom or anytime you sit down to fold laundry. I'm going to be there high-fiving you.
I finally get that. I mean, that took like a month to go away. But I was like, I went to my OB when I got that one after I delivered Delilah and he hemorrhoid shamed me. He was like, holy cow. Let's call Guinness Book of World Records.
You know when an OBGYN balks, you've got a situation. If a doctor that looks under the hood literally all the time and is like, yeah, you just got a hemorrhoid. But if he's like, good God. Yeah. Is that a – you're not supposed to crown on that end.
I know. I don't do anything halfway except for workout and not even 25%.
How can you work out with that right coming out of your situation?
But once I got it to go away, I was like I'm trying to stay positive, trying to stay on top of like just not letting the kids be on iPads all the time, like come up with like activities for them and like trying to work out – kind of, but it's like ever. I mean, the space bar on my computer stopped working again. Why?
Because the universe doing this to me. The universe plays terrible jokes on you. And during this time, the last thing you want to deal with is an injury or any kind of discomfort. It feels like that should never happen. And God forbid you have to go into the doctor to have anything fixed. That's like that seems worse.
Well, like 2 days ago, I was like, I have a sneaking suspicion that I'm getting a yeast infection. So I.
Why? Because you were like rubbing your crotch on like a cat stand.
No, it was just all of a sudden it was like I was getting like a phone call on vibrate inside my cervix or something. I was just like,
oh.
I was like, that's a weird feeling and that's not right.
You've got the yeast infection tickle.
I'm sure I just looked at a wet towel or something and it did it. But I was so pissed. I got on Instacart. Oh, yeah. And I ordered all the stuff that you can possibly order from the grocery store that relates to a yeast infection. And a man named Gerardo delivered it and he got a big tip. But because I had ordered 8 bottles of wine, not a joke, 8 bottles of wine, I had to show my ID at the window, at the door.
I'm so surprised he wasn't like, is there any link to like yeast infections and wine consumption? Because just going through your cart, lady, I just wanted to tell you maybe there's something about that.
No, there is. Everybody says like when you get a yeast infection, you're not supposed to drink wine because it can. But listen.
Who the hell says that? Nobody I know says that. That's dumb. How are you supposed to deal with that throbbing situation if you don't have a mild buzz?
I could be on like Venco. A Venco drip, and I would still have wine. Otherwise, I would not
survive.
Be able to chill at the end of the day. I don't. But
did you order Monistat from Instacart?
I did. Okay. I ordered two or three of them, and I did different days too because you know everybody says like the one day doesn't work, so I ordered two of the one days.
You've got like the bath bead that you're like, I'm gonna give this. I'm gonna do two in one. I'm going to clear out a yeast infection and any kind of ear infection or eye infection.
I ordered everything. Like, I might accidentally clear out all healthy bacteria from my body. And then that would be what would happen is I'd just have diarrhea straight for like 4 weeks because.
Oh, man.
That's how things are going for me right now. And worse, I told you about this and I hate talking about it because I do feel like it's. Not that it's like complainy, but it's like, what good does it do to like complain about it? It doesn't. But I have this bad back, and about 10 days ago, it goes out like every 3 or 4 years, and it went out. Like I'm sitting, I'm going to show you right now. I'm sitting on a weird bunny pillow under
to level out your ass.
Hey, Kristen.
Two questions. Two-part question on this. First of all, what happens when somebody says, oh, my back went out? Is it a slipped disc? Is it like, what is the actual situation that happens when someone's like, my back's out?
Well, mine, I can literally see. I feel like I'll give you more of an explanation. But it is intense pain. And then on me, I can look in the mirror when I'm brushing my teeth and my right hip is like 3 inches higher than my left hip. And it helps because I have a lot of flank fat that accentuates the difference in my hips. It's like a shame arrow pointing to where the back is out. Exactly. So obviously my husband cannot keep his hands off of my body, but I have like a real legit thing. Like I know people are like, I have a bad back because my golf swing is messed up. So like, you know, but
that would be me. And that would be my thing.
It's legit. I understand it. Like
tell them what you got. Terrible. Tell them your situation on your back because it is real.
So I was born with spina bifida. Which is it's called a myelomeningocele, and it is like where your it's like a hemorrhoid on your back, except your spinal column sneaks out through a couple of vertebrae. And I'm not gonna joke. Like I feel like I should be able to joke about it a little bit because I have it, but it actually is like a horrible birth defect that some babies are born with. I had surgery when I was a baby, like right after I was born, to put it back in. And that like protects the spine from any further damage. But anything below where that happened is weaker. Like it's just weaker. So mine was at like my hip line. But this is why this is absolutely zero founding in medical science. But because it's at my sacral, like the top of my hips, I think that's why I couldn't push when I was having the kids, like because that muscle was weak. Like I couldn't get my brain to tell my body to push the babies out. Like everybody was literally telling me, like my mom and my husband and the nurses were like, well, picture yourself pooping. I'm like, I can't. I don't remember how. Like I don't know how to work those muscles.
I so feel like they should have been like, she's been through enough. Let's just go ahead and C-section this and put her at Cedars with a real nice lavender-scented spa-like treatment and call it a day.
Yeah. Let's just let her chill. But my doctor, my OB did say, you're probably going to have a C-section. Like, you're probably not going to be able to. But I wanted to try it like everybody does for whatever reason. You're like, no, I'd like to see if I can blow out my vagina entirely. Yeah.
I feel cheated because I've blown out my vagina and I had two C-sections. So I'm not sure how that happened, but it certainly did. It's a train wreck down there.
That what was Finn was like 12 pounds.
Yeah, he's like 40 pounds. I don't know. He's nine pounds. Eleanor was 9 pounds. Like it was all, you know, I blame them for. The honest truth is like the C-sections don't have anything to do with my very weak pelvic floor. It's my inability to commit to a fitness routine and just choose to watch Netflix. But I like to blame them because they don't know the ins and outs of birthing a baby. Not really. They don't. I just tell them it's their fault and then it's better.
They don't. They know nothing about birthing no babies. They absolutely.
I mean, they know, but I just keep it. I'm like, they're like, wait a minute. Did you push us out of your vagina? And I'm like, that is none of your business. That is, you know what? I don't know.
When they ask, how does the baby get out? I say the doctor does it.
Yeah.
And when they say, how did the baby get in there? I say the doctor did it.
Oh, did I touch?
That's not true. My husband honestly doesn't care as long as the kids are going to be good at sports. He has no concerned with their parentage is, but they look exactly like him. So there's really not a question.
Yes.
But so anyways, old injury, been acting up. So my hip is like 3 inches higher on my right side because the muscle just gives up every once in a while. And it's not because I was doing anything like CrossFit. I think I was grabbing a remote when I was cuddling with my son on the couch and I just did it at a bad angle. And now I have to sit on this weird bunny pillow. But I can walk and I can stand. I just sitting is and I have to like make sure I have the right amount of wine to sleep at night.
That's just survival on a different level. I think I'm sure that having that kind of injury was not did you get out of PE? Did you get out of stuff? Did you get out of PE because of that?
No.
Could you just show your scar and be like, I don't want to do gymnastics today because
I'm sure I could have actually. I seem to recall something. I don't remember what it was. I should have asked my mom, but like I think the reason she didn't ever want me to like play sports, although she said they're not very ladylike.
I was going to say, that's not anything to do with the hole in your back. That's her. But
I think she was scared that like I would like get a further injury, you know, because I don't have like the muscle to support my spine where most people like you get injured and you have all this strong muscle that supports it. And mine was like sliced and already like damaged to begin with. So but she put me in dance because
that can build your muscles.
It can. Like that muscle will never get stronger. And I had a neurologist, I think I punched him in the face, was like, well, you know what you could do is you could work on your core and that would support your spine a lot more. And I'm like,
Jen was like, did you say work on my cork? On the cork? Yeah. I mean, I could take out a cork faster than that's like wizardry for me. I can just super fast. Oh, my core, my middle.
Yeah. So I know that it's the reason that it hurts is because my core is poor. It's very flabby right now. And it's like if I get stressed out, my muscles like up in my shoulders where you normally get stressed out, they like pull the muscle, like pull the hip up. So it's and it only happens like every couple of years. And I know it sounds like total and complete bullshit, but it's such a real thing.
Yes. I think that obviously like right now where we're homebound, any kind of injury that you have to endure is scary because the last thing you want to do is go into the doctor, right? You don't want to just like pain during an already painful time is like the universe should just automatically help me drop like 11 pounds for no reason. Like I shouldn't have a hemorrhoid or a yeast infection or any kind of bad attitude. I feel like I should look younger, feel better, be skinnier, cook better, run further, have more motivation. And all of that is in complete opposition to my current truth. We had a medical incident happen in our house that I'm still not over.
Eleanor's toenail or is this?
Oh no. No, that okay, let me rewind because that's where it started. I'm not sure how everybody else is dealing with this, but right now, because we are in quarantine and everybody has to be really careful about who they're hanging out with. You're at home all the time. You got to make your house fun, right? So I always think like,
yeah,
I want to make it feel like a pub without the booze for the kids. Lots of booze for me. So we have a dartboard. We have a balance beam. We have a pool with a inflatable slide. Like every now and then I'll bring out something new for the kids just to keep them sort of invigorated and creative and whatever. So we're outside and Eleanor ran around the pool, hit her toe, her toenail exploded. And I literally was like, I thought I was going to barf and pass out at the same time. And this was a very small, very regular. Every kid has done it. We've all broken our toe. We've all pulled out a toenail. It's disgusting. She's like,
No, we haven't.
But her foot, her little toenail was like hanging on by a thread. And it was bleeding. And she goes, oh God, oh God, H-E-double-L, H-E-double-L. And she was trying not to swear. I think in her little Irish brain, she was like, motherfuck, it hurts. But so that I was like, okay, good. There's our injury. We got, you know, I sort of believe like you get it done, then you're good. Like, get it out and over
with. We're going to be careful from now on.
We're going to be careful from now on, which we are. I honestly can say I'm careful, but there's a calculation that you have to make as a mom, which is how careful do I have to be and can I calculate safety while letting them try new creative things so these things that I have them last longer. For instance, our kids put the gymnastic mats together, covered them with soap, and made a slip and slide that went into the pool. It was so fun. They did it 100,000 times. And it was literally the cheapest fun. Was it a design slip and slide? No, it was a mat. It was like 2 inches, 3 inches thick, slippery,
oh my God,
and went right into the pool. So now let me tell you what happened.
Did they have helmets on? You're no. Such a cool mom.
No, I'm not.
I would have been like...
No, I'm really not a cool mom. But I was like, hey, this seems fairly... By my calculations, this seems like a safe, fun adventure that I'm not uncomfortable with. But let me tell you something. I was proved wrong because as we know right now, everybody has to be very safe. And we have a neighbor who are very dear friends. And when I tell you, Jen, that they've been on quarantine, like they have not been out of the house. They're very careful. They have, like, we go over and we do a social distance, like video gaming thing, so that Charlie and Finn, who are best friends, can play. We are 10 feet apart. We bring our own drinks. We bring our own cups. There's no cross-pollination. We don't use their bathroom. Like, it's a thing, right? Because they have been running a very strict quarantine. So our friend.
Yeah, that's our style too.
Yeah, like, she goes, hey, we really miss you guys. Would you guys be okay? Because we've all had tests. Would you guys be okay with having a quarantine swim for the kids? And you know what? We were like, yes, let's do it. Brett, come on over to our house. We'll set up a very tight quarantine in the backyard. So we did, chairs across 10 feet. Everybody brought their own food, brought their own drink. We sat apart. And Jen, I am not kidding. Their kids, Harper, who's this darling 12-year-old like giraffe, who's, you know, that like, like kind of like she's turning into a woman situation, and she's like tall, but she doesn't know her own body, but gorgeous. And like, just, they're like my kids, you know, we love them so much.
Yeah, that's not how I did it.
No, me neither. I was like, does someone want to call? Do I look like I'm deformed? Because only my left leg has grown.
Sweaty minion with bad teeth.
Yeah. I had like, look, I have armpit hair on just my left armpit and my upper lip. That's neat. Harper is gorgeous. She's just,
I can picture it though.
It was good. I was like, hey, look at that. Some there's not any there. Lots here. None on my bush, but that'll come later.
my armpit hair is coming in on my lip. I don't. Should that be?
That's what I was like, you guys, my eyebrows and my lip and my pit hair are strong. They're strong. Still no period. Still no chance of a boyfriend. Everything's going great. So so my point of the story is that Harper, who's darling and 12 and like stuck at home during a tough time. She's a seventh grader. Like, your summer in seventh grade was so important. All you wanted to do was be away from your parents and just, like, be around boys or be around girls or just
watch Oprah.
Yeah, whatever, man. You didn't want. That was
the safest place for me to be.
God. But it was still, like, city pool or, like, riding your bike. Like, it just was – independence was sort of becoming a thing at seventh grade. So she's cooped up. They decide, hey, we're going to do our first outing with the Sweeney family. That's us. And we are so excited. I cleaned that bathroom. I prepped everything. And you and I had to do a Facebook Live. So I go outside after the Facebook Live is over. I sit down. I am outside for 4 minutes, Jen. I am outside for 4 minutes. And Colin goes, oh, I hear Harper go, oh, and Colin goes, oh no. And then Harper looks at me. She grabs her knee. She's on the mat that's the slip and slide. It's covered in soap. And she is, when I tell you bleeding, that is not, it looked, she was, it looked like it was pretend. Like there was a, like a, it was like a movie. Like, oh look, I'm going to do a joke on you and make this squirt everywhere. But it was squirting literally everywhere. And then she saw the blood and then she panicked and all the parents like jump up. Meanwhile, we're like fully like not social distancing because what the fuck do you do when there's a kid?
What was it? What did she?
I will tell you.
Hit though.
She literally went two times on the makeshift slip and slide, and somehow because she is tall, her knee went in, and it was a perfect combination of a brick being underneath that mat that pushed through the gymnastics mat up into her knee, and it was not a cut. It was a deep laceration, and I would like to tell you how I know. I know because
I know. You saw stuff coming out of it.
Oh, no. I saw.
You saw bone?
I saw meat. I saw. I saw what looks like. I'm getting lightheaded and what my eyes are watering right now. I'm blinking a lot. I saw what looked like the actual epidermal chart that they give you at the doctor where they're like, here's your epidermis. So what happens when you get a sunburn and all that? Like, that's like what was tipped out on the side. I was like, and those make me nauseated. When I see a uterus in three dimension at the gyno and like, I see a fallopian tube, I'm like, I'm going to pass out. So Colin and I were eyeball to eyeball because we were each on a knee and I was holding pressure over her knee. And Colin, we were both kind of like out of it, we kept like tiptoeing weird. And Colin's like, I'll get a Band-Aid. And I'm like, she doesn't have pool toe. She's got, we're like, we get the first aid kit. So we did. Let me tell you, Jen, it was so gnarly. So I take the thing off the knee. This flap comes open. I know she's handling it like such a champ. And I'm in my head like, Kristen, you suck it up. You know, first aid, you do what you're supposed to do. And I grab this giant gauze thing. And I put it over the wound and then I wrap it really tight because I remember like put pressure on it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Astrid, Harper's mom, looks to me and goes, Kristen, are you okay? And I'm like, I don't think so. I think this injury has scarred me more than it will forever scar your daughter. I was a real pansy.
Everything's a little bit scarier right now, too. Everything's like dialed up a notch. But it's a different generation than our parents were. Like the week before we went back to school when I was like 6 or 7, I slid like body planted all the way up my grandparents' like super hot driveway in Oklahoma. And I skinned like forehead, nose, my palms, all the way down my knees. And my mom was like, well, that's going to look great for school pictures. I was not like smoking crack in the driveway there was just such a different.
Yeah, they made it our fault, which I can understand the benefit. Like if it's somewhere, but this was such an innocent, stupid, ridiculous, terrible thing that I could not have foreseen happening. I literally felt like I'd been gutted. Poor Harper. So she goes to the doctor and she has to have 7 staples put in this fatty, big piece. Oh. And I mean staples. I still feel as terrible because here's the good news. We are going to be immortalized with her because I told her, I said, every time you tell the story of why you have this scar, you have to use our name so that a little bit of us dies every time, just so we can remind ourselves. Oh, did I mention the fact that they had to go to an urgent care during COVID?
Yeah.
Like they haven't been to a Trader Joe's. And they had to go to the place that we are all avoiding. How many times have you said, guys, we are not going to the ER. If you do something dumb and you get hurt, I swear I will cross stitch your forehead myself. I swear to you.
Oh, I'm the same way. But here, I think it's interesting that that happened, that your reaction was that, because you do, like, you do have this kind of like, I grew up on a farm. Like, I feel like you could gut a fish pretty easily.
I can.
So, I mean, not that anytime you describe an injury with the word flap involved, you know, it's not a good one. So it's not like this was a little cut. This was something big. But I'm surprised that you were that, because I don't get, I get that shaken up. Like if I have to get blood drawn for whatever reason, I've heard it's because I have like a, it's your vasovagal response. I don't know what that is.
Good God, woman, you and your medical term. See, that's the thing. I don't know what it is because I am good in an emergency, but this was something different and it felt strangely more emotional because it was another kid and I didn't, it was oddly like I felt more upset from it being another kid because I felt like I didn't get to see the thing through. I didn't get to go to the ER. I mean, let's be honest. If I did, there'd be two of us down. Honestly, they'd be like, the friend that brought you in has passed out. She is on an IV drip. She won't stop crying. We think that maybe there's a little bit of overdramatics happening here. She's we're not sure what's going on. She blames her husband. So
I'm honestly, and I think it's because I was a doctor in a past life, I am honestly good in those situations.
I know.
But nobody thinks I'm gonna be, but like,
no, that's not what it is. It's not that anybody thinks you're not good in that situation. What they think is that you're overconfident and you'll be like, you guys know what? I need to put a trach in this guy. And we're like, eh, okay,
exactly.
Before you use a pen to put a trach in a dude, let's see if there is a doctor on this plane or before there's a, you know, like remember when that woman passed out in our show and we were in Spanx and you were going to walk down and try to help
just
her.
Just check her vitals.
Just check her vitals. And I'm like, Jen, we're currently wearing Spanx. This is a show of 2,000 people. I'm going to guess one of these women is an actual doctor.
Oh, 1,000%. But I'm like, well, if this feels hard for you right now, I'm willing to step in. Wait, okay. Case in point, our dear friend Ashley, who is an ICU is a nurse. 1,000%. She's knows what she's doing. Very qualified. Done it for years. She had this New Year's Eve party this one time. And it's like one of those things where like this event would have been like a foreshadowing thing for what was going to happen later in the movie, which was she was making a nacho bar.
I love any story that starts with a nacho bar. She's
from Nebraska. Hello. Yeah, we're going to drink and just have nachos till midnight. It was ideal. So her husband takes out these knives that he had like ordered.
Oh, God.
Like a Ginsu knife commercial. And I was like, that thing's not even legal in this state. What are you doing with that huge knife? Like he's cutting stuff up like tomatoes for the nacho bar. Like
There are nacho fingers. No.
I was like, you be careful with that. So they had one of those cutting boards that you pull out, you know, you pull it out and then you slice stuff up and you should not leave the knife on there. Jury's still out. Rumor is I left the knife on there. But when people started coming, Bree was making drinks. Our friend Bree was in the kitchen making drinks. And that son of a bitch, a knife that I think it weighed like 5 pounds, number one. And the blade was like,
yeah. What the hell? You're just like making guac? He's not like.
That's what I told him.
Pruning
I was like,
an oak tree.
I was like, this is reckless, Mark. What is with this knife?
He's like, hey, guys, like I brought a machete to make salsa. It's a very nice, nicely trimmed salsa here.
It was honestly like something Crazy Eights would have used in Kill Bill. Like some ancient weapon that just will like. Slice you by like you don't even know it, you know, like that knife or that blade that like cuts the head off in Temple of Doom and the guy doesn't even know it.
My kids saw it during this quarantine anyway. So did Brie get a cut?
So she's making a drink in the kitchen and
God.
Hits the drawer it goes straight down. The knife goes straight down into the top of her foot, like where it meets the ankle. And she was surprisingly calm. I mean, that sucker gushed. It spurted. And I go into the kitchen because I'm like, stand back, everybody. I'm about to help. And Ashley was like, get Jen out of here. I would just come in and like slip around in this pool of blood, make everything worse. And
Jen's
pass
like,
out.
I work for Auto Trader. And your friend's like, I'm a registered nurse. Can you move?
I would have just like made a mess in there. I would have hit my head. They would have like had to call an ambulance for me. But like, it was so bad that we had to put Bree's foot in the bathtub.
Oh,
like,
God.
You could not stop the blood. And she went to the ER, and God love a girl from Nebraska. She came back, kept drinking.
Yeah. Yeah. During this whole tragic event, which was just like couldn't have literally happened as the second they got here, their first time out, and it happens like within, we were on Facebook for about 30 minutes. So it happened at 35 minutes. So they were here for 35 minutes. And then they have to go to the place they're trying to avoid the most. And meanwhile, my son and Charlie get to be together for the first time ever. And they are as happy as you've ever seen two. It's like the whole world is falling down. And those two are like looking into each other's eyes, talking about Brawl Stars. And one's like, hey, did you get Leon, the Brawl Star Leon? Yeah, I did. It's really good. And Eleanor's like, I saw the inside of her knee.
Yeah.
And 2 hours
they were
later.
Like, I love it when a plan works out.
Yeah. Two hours later, Charlie's like, hey, where are my parents? And I go, well, Harper got a little accident. So, and they're like, he's like, you know what? I'm okay. I don't need to know. And I go, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, can I spend the night? And I go, it's like, buddy, you were supposed to be gone 2 hours ago, but luckily for you, our dumb makeshift, stupid slip and slide that I threw away will never see the light of day again really damaged this party. But she's okay. She's okay.
Thank God.
And she's awesome.
Staples, though. So she has to go back to get the staples taken out, though?
Yeah, and it's taken a long time to heal because it's such a chunky, meaty situation. But good news is no nerve damage, no bone damage. And you know, the thing, so
I hate having to tag that onto any story. Good news is bones are fine, no nerve damage.
That's why I couldn't ask for people's engagement on this one, because I started like thinking about it and I was like, I'll be like checking this at, you know, on a walk and I'll pass out. Like people will be like, what the hell are you doing to yourself? Oh. I really am becoming more and more squeamish. And I think about my parents. So my dad, I don't know if I told you this. My dad came down. You can kind of see it on this video a little bit. So my dad.
Oh, this video is terrible for scars.
Oh, yeah.
I can't see it, though.
It's just little. It's right there. I'm pointing it out. And if you watch the
on
video
your forehead.
On YouTube. Yeah. So my parents were, who knows? It was a Kansas City Royals game. I was 13 months. I crawled under my dad's recliner. My dad, the home run. Dad pops out of the recliner and I take it to the forehead. Rumor has it, I probably only needed like 7 or 8 stitches, but because my mom lost her shit and they got into my dad's truck, my dad probably was like, hey, should I take a roadie? So they, you know, because they were barely illegal to drive at that point because my parents were so young when they had me. That when my mom was in the side of my dad's truck, she was such a disaster. She was holding me and I was just bleeding and bleeding. My dad shut the door. My mom moved my head and they hit the car door, hit my head and split open my head 2 more stitches.
No.
If you ever want to have a really fun time, bring that story up in front of my parents because there's still a lot of really deep resentment.
Blame. A lot of
blame. A lot of tight lips, a lot of, my dad just feels terrible. My mom feels like he should feel terrible. So it was, but I do like the scar. I got to say, like, I think scars are cool, but I just don't want to be the reason anybody gets one.
Did I tell you that story about, that's so crazy. Okay.
I'm literally lightheaded.
I know. My dad was in the Air Force and like if your dad's military, I don't know if this is all branches, but mine, it's called in the Air Force TDY. Your parents go on TDY, which is like a business trip where you visit another base, whatever. I thought it was for traveling daddy. I had no idea.
Oh,
what it was for.
Cute.
But so we were always really excited when he would get back. And I remember my mom was getting us ready. We're going to pick him up and then we're going to go to dinner. So my mom got us like baths, got us in nice outfits, and she put curlers in my hair. Like it was the 1950s or something. They were like freaking soup cans, and told me to sit in a chair till my hair dried, which maybe it was going to take like an hour or something, but it felt
nightmare.
Like 80 years
because
I was like four. Yeah.
Yeah.
Four or five. I was super young. And my brother and I had been fighting really bad. And I remember she was like, she was trying to get ready, trying to get us out of the door in time. And she had my brother go do something. And I was so jealous because he got to get out of the chairs. Like he got to get up from sitting still and not messing up his outfit and go out to the garage. So I ran out to chase him. Like it was connected.
You're like I'm going to escape this hair prison.
I'm going to too. And I was yanking on the door and I couldn't get it open. And so he like angrily throws open the door and the doorknob hit my nose and like,
oh like man, exploded. A nose injury. It just is the dumbest thing. It bleeds like it's head like, wounds, noses. It's unforeseen. It's
so,
graphic.
You know, it, she does the like, you know, 80s mom thing where she's like, eh,
rub some
I
dirt
might see
on
cartilage.
It.
It's fine. Yeah. You're going to make it through
you know,
this.
We'll
fine.
Put a, we'll put a Band-Aid on it. If I have one. If not, we'll use some duct tape. It'll be fine. She's got to get the ends to touch.
She was just mostly mad. She was like, you have two nice dresses, and now you have blown one of them completely. Like, we can't.
Such an 80s mom.
To,
don't get it on your windbreaker.
So we go and we pick up my dad. Like, he looks at it. He's like, yeah, I don't think she needs stitches. And we take my dad out to dinner before we go home, and we get Chinese food. And that night, about 10 or 11 o'clock
night,
everybody got food poisoning.
God bless America. The story never ends.
I know. So I'm throwing up. I go into the bathroom to throw up. And my mom, when she goes to flip up the toilet seat, I'm already in barf position. She hit me in the face with the toilet seat, re-splitting the nose. And at that point, they're like, that guy's not healing. So my dad had to drive me to the ER in the middle of the night while he had food poisoning to get my nose restitched up.
Was he like, was the doctor like, let's just check you guys all in and let's, you know what? I'm going to put something, I'm going to give you a vacation side effect in your drip. Like, you all need a break.
Great.
Like,
well, the doctor did say, how did this happen? And my response was, my mom hit me in the face with a toilet seat. And they were like, ma'am, can you leave the room?
Yeah. But then your mom was like, she was born with a hole in her spine. I had to endure everything with her. So I fuck up once. That was harder. I've done better.
That one you can't really see, but I can always see on these podcast videos. I have I hit myself in the eye with the door of my Toyota Camry while on a conference call when I was a pharmaceutical rep. I just wasn't paying attention. I was on a busy street trying to listen on my Bluetooth.
Please tell me you got stitches while you were trying to secure a deal. Like you're like, okay, listen, I really like this
always
toner.
Be closing.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. And I think I probably should have gotten stitches because I can see it and it's like a long like line.
I think, like I said, I think scars are charming. I just need the Cliff Note version of how you got it. I think every scar tells a story. I just can't listen to that story if you're going to get real detailed about it. You know who else is exactly like that? My son. You know who else? My husband. Oh. The chances of any – my daughter's fine. Eleanor's tough as nails. The rest of us,
how
no
did Colin
chance.
Do? When Harper hurt her knee, how did he do?
Was well, I looked at him and I was like, God, you're the whitest man I've ever met. And then I looked at him and I was like, oh, right, you're pale because you're about to barf or pass out. I've seen that face before and it was when I was getting an epidural. So he
– okay.
He literally
maybe
like –
because he started dancing and was not doing it very well or something.
No, that too. But he was like blinking really hard and we both were like – like we were both on our knee looking at this knee. So we were both so close to this injury. And Colin, I just was like looking at him and I felt like I was saying words, but I also was like, the casserole is on a Friday. And he's like, what? I'm like, I don't know. I've never been in this situation. And she's poor. Like the parents of Harper were like, Kristen doesn't seem okay. And I'm like, I'm doing my best. But he did do a good job in the, I got to give him a big shout out because he had our first aid kit put together. And if we wouldn't have had that, we would have been in a whole bunch of trouble. Like we would, I don't know if we would have just wrapped her in a, and by the way, did I mention she was covered in soap? Because we were making the slip and slide slippery.
Feels a little burny.
Yeah, so we were trying to rinse her off of soap, get her knee wrapped. Like, this was a – it's never convenient when any of these things happen. So now I just live in fear. I've taken away all the fun stuff in the backyard.
I'm going to say this, and I don't mean for it to sound judgy, but I just know I can't be the only one wondering this. What? How come slip and slides aren't slippery enough? Why did you add the
because added it wasn't danger? First of all, it's never slippery enough if you're doing it right. Second of all, this is not a slip and slide. This is a gymnastics mat covered in a running hose, covered in soap, which was not my idea, nor would I have given the green light on that, but I was away for 30 minutes. And I that they were trying to make it slippery so that they could go from the pool side into the pool, which did I mention before we'd done 1,000 times in the last week? Like, this was a thing. And then just physics and math and corners and 90-degree angles and knee junk and barfy experiences that I feel terrible about to this day. I keep taking presents over to them because I like feel so bad.
Wouldn't it be great to like see like a documentary footage of that happening and Harper being like, what about that brown haired lady? Is she okay? She doesn't look good. She looks a little ghosty. Get her in a chair and get her feet elevated. Looks like she's about to pass out. Want to make sure she's okay. I'm fine.
I was like, Harper, you're fine. You're 12 and you're beautiful and you're young. Let's take care of me. I'm the one that's scarred from this event.
I had this really, oh God. I'm not going to tell like worst. Hey, we're trying to keep this lighthearted. I'm not going to tell you like worst case scenario deals. But when Kristen and I were working on our pilot for Warner Brothers,
CBS. You could have been this. You work on commission, right? CBS mistake, huge.
I'm sure they feel that. I'm sure they feel that. I just laughed from my tonsils.
I know.
I don't know if everybody heard that, but. So I was driving home. I was so tired. It's so stressful. You're like, just because it's like, it's so exciting. And every part of it, you feel like you're at a 10, like all the time.
Are you talking about being at a 10 after your injury? Or wait, our pilot.
I'm talking about. We were working on the pilot. It was like a couple days before we shot. It's exciting. It's stressful. You're working so hard. You're not able to sleep because you're excited. And I stop at this light on the way home.
Oh God,
and
Jen.
I see this guy going into the turn lane on like a Kawasaki or something like that. And then I see this. His light had turned green, but a guy was coming through finishing out the red. And I heard this noise. And then there was like this whoop, 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 whoop,
God.
Whoop through the air. Let me let you off the hook. The guy, totally fine, had his helmet on, but he's so, you know, I stopped.
He's not totally fine.
Well, he wasn't, but this is the worst thing ever. This is the worst thing ever, Kristen. He was laying there, and the guy who I was worried about, the guy that hit him in his Honda Accord, he really hadn't done anything wrong. I think you're not supposed to anticipate a green. You're just not supposed to. And the guy turning on the motorcycle had.
Yeah.
So this guy.
And those crotch rockets are hard to see. I'm going to say it. Like they ride low and they come on fast. It's like. You know,
it was by Warner Brothers. It was on Olive. There's like an overpass. It was his fault. You can't see anybody. You could not see that guy coming whatsoever. But he's laying there like in the crosswalk and everybody was just so helpful and so nice. Everybody responded and they were great. And the guy that hit him was so upset and like freaking out, white as a sheet and stuff. And the guy that got hit was screaming at everyone. He was screaming at everyone, which I understand, but he was so rude. And especially to that guy that hit him, who wasn't like, yeah, they like, you know,
mind yourself,
like, you're in,
sir.
Exactly. Kristen, that is what I said to him. I go, you are fine. You have probably broken your femur, but you are fine. And it was not his fault. I like, and people looked at me like, but I was so stressed out. I was like, you're not being at all helpful right now. I realize you have a horrible injury, but you don't need to yell at this guy.
He's going to like never forgive himself, most likely. Do you remember when we were together? It was you, me, Colin, and Britt in the same car, and we were in Santa Monica, and this girl ran a red on her 10 speed and got, she didn't get hit. She got tapped. The car pulled out, and then it was a car before us, and I saw her get tapped. And so it was enough to send her onto the pavement. And my first thought was, to which I yelled out the window, is like, why are you wearing a helmet? And my husband looked around at me and was like, she is having a terrible day. So then I looked at her. and I go, I am really sorry I brought up that you're not wearing a helmet. I'm just worried about you. God, I can't.
She had a helmet
on. She should have had a helmet on. You guys, I can't. This is the problem. I think it's a lack of control that like you know, when I go in my backyard, obviously I'm like, I think every mother calculates whether something is safe or not before you let your kid, at least I do. Even playground equipment, I'm in my head like, what kind of engineer made this? Is this going to be safe? I don't, you know, if they fall, but is it, for, you know, you safe calculation, distance, all that crap. Can they still be creative? Not in a million years would I have predicted that this could happen. And I feel very jilted because of that.
Well, that's probably what you feel the worst about, is that we like to think that you, it gives us like the, what is it? Like some fallacy of control that you could have done
prevented something,
but like, you know, if it, you try to keep them from doing stupid things, but they're going to do stupid things when you're not looking, number one.
And when you're looking,
just try to like,
they do stupid
mitigate
things.
Risk as much as possible.
That's the thing. My son does stupid things all the time when I'm looking. So I can only imagine what he's doing when I'm not looking. So then I think to myself, how did I screw this up? Because I have two different places where I'm trying to control. And yet this thing was not a dumb thing. This was just the most random accident. But God, I felt so unprepared. I was like, my son tests me. I'm good at this. I know what he's thinking before he thinks it. Like one time he goes, hey, Mom, do you think I could go out onto the roof? And I go, oh, that means you've been out on the roof. You've opened your window. Because I know what you're doing. Now you're asking permission. And then I thought to myself, why does he want to go onto the roof? And he goes, I go, to jump into the pool? And he goes, how'd you know? I think it'd be so cool. And I'm like, we're moving.
Yeah. Well, that's what's weird when there's an injury that you never could have foreseen happening, where you're like, I overcalculated every single part of this except that. Like, where did that come from? That's what Harper's was.
But if Finn got hurt doing something stupid, you can guarantee all the way to the ER, I would be bawling, I would be concerned, and I would be blaming him every step of the way. This is why I said you can't run when you're going into the pool. Like, it would be his worst day for a myriad of reasons.
But, you know, this is how males think. It's very different. I mean, granted, my daughter loves to stand on the back of the couch for absolutely no reason. I'm like, that's where you want to watch TV, is standing precariously. And she does not pay attention to much. So it's constantly a worry. Like, get down off the back of the furniture all the time. But my son is just constantly looking for danger. Like, and my husband is too, because I want to get a hot tub in the backyard area. Because I think that would be nice to,
and it would make your hemi and your butt feel better.
Right. It's medical.
I think it would also probably cure the yeast infection too altogether. I feel like that chlorine would get up in there and razzle dazzle your snazzle.
See, I'm going to get one right away. But my husband is concerned that Dash will figure out that he can climb. You can very easily climb up onto the roof from the like landscaping there. He's like, he's going to get on the roof and try to dive into the
100%
the hot tub.
I know. That's yep.
Never would have crossed my mind.
Never would have crossed my mind. Well,
you're going to pass out. Yeah. You better have some sugar. Get some orange juice in you.
Look how
I know from passing out a lot. That's what you need.
I don't pass out, but I will barf.
I do. I will hit the ground so hard. And I had a nurse tell me when I was like 22 or something, she goes, you know what? You tell people that you're a fainter before they draw your blood. Because I fell off the table, like onto the ground, and she came in and found me.
She blamed you. See? She blamed you.
Oh, good point. Yeah.
It's how we cope. We got to blame the person. It's got to be the other person's fault. She shouldn't have been nice and made sure that you didn't hit your head on the way down. It's your fault for not knowing you're a fainter. See?
Now I remember her saying to me, you know what? You might have broken your femur, but it was your fault because you should have told me that you're a fainter.
You should have been wearing your helmet, you dumb shit.
All right. Well, I wanted to tell you.
Oh, yeah.
But I have a thing I want to tell you that I love, and you might have already seen this.
What's this for?
I guess this is a QT.
Okay.
A little bit of QT.
We're going to talk about quality time.
QT. QT.
QT! Thank God. I got to get off that garbage.
Okay. Jenny sent me this. Do you know there's a duo who are famous and they are best friends, two women that I love, and I didn't know that they were best friends. Pink and Carrie Kinney.
Who's
Carrie Kinney from Reno 911? She's your favorite that wears the big, huge white underpants.
They're best friends.
Like, they're best friends. They've been for years. They're like us, but the super cool version.
Oh my God, I love – it took me a second to like jump off of injury into Kara Kinney, but no one – that woman and her underpants on Reno 911 is all I need in my life all the time. I've seen the Reno 911 movie like 1,000 times. Wendy McClendon Covey, I mean, I don't even get me started. I love that those two are best friends. That's amazing.
Isn't that so – well, it makes like Pink even cooler. Because
she's
somehow,
the coolest.
She's already, but I love, they just like recently came out as best friends on Instagram, and it makes me so happy.
That's amazing. They recently came out as best friends. I also like that Pink sliced her husband's tires because she was mad at him at Thanksgiving. I like a broad that goes the full tilt.
Would you mess with Pink, honestly? No.
She has her like backpack, you know, cool diaper bag. And she's like, I also have a switchblade, Carrie. So I'm going to go ahead and slice your tires on your truck and get an Uber on the way home. Wah, wah. She's a girl after my own heart.
Pink could get like a teardrop tattoo and I wouldn't ask questions. I wouldn't really want to know the answers to it. I'd just be like, I think I know.
I think I know, and I applaud you, and I respect you. And
you were right, and they were wrong.
Yep, yeah. You should have been. They should have been wearing a helmet. So that's all I can say.
Exactly.
That's all I can say about that.
That was my QT.
Oh, that's nice. I only have a silly QT, but I think it's. I just want to remember it. Eleanor's two front teeth are loose right now, and she's been waiting. And waiting to lose teeth in a fair way because Finn lost 40 teeth in 2 weeks. And it was like his mouth looked like – he looked like an old man that lost his dentures, you know, that like left
Sounds
him on a
like
counter.
He lost other people's teeth.
He lost everybody. His DNA is all over this town in ball pits, in gymnastics places. Like Finn just kept losing teeth like it was a cartoon. Like, but Eleanor's got these teeny tiny little teeth. And she had one come out in a French fry and one came out. Because she bumped her mouth. So both have been traumatic, but this is just the good old Mother Nature pushing these two teeth down and she's wiggling them with her teeth. Once again, I am not so good with that stuff that I'm like, God, that's so cute. Like it's gnarly. Teeth are gnarly when kids lose teeth. That I don't think that's supposed to be our, like moms do a lot. Like I can clean up barf. I can clean up puke. I can clean up poop, like, you know, I'll get in there with the Desitin in every direction necessary, but teeth hanging on by a thread, it's gross. It's gross.
Yeah, because you can see those, like, vessels. It's gross. And you're like, I don't want to be the one that pulls that. Like, what if it just keeps going?
Yeah.
What if you pull a tooth and it's like a clown scarf? Like, it just keeps coming and coming. It's like, I think it's interesting because Eleanor and Dash are 5 weeks apart, 6 weeks apart. Dash's last two teeth also. And they're one, like, a top one and a lower one. And they're both growing in a really weird color. I don't know. I'm like, you gotta brush these better. I'm like, these need to last you the next 110 years. So, like, take care of them.
So weird, but isn't it? Like, teeth are like, that's their permanent teeth.
Forever. I know. Well, Britt has this horrific story about he is so obsessive that he yanked out like four of his teeth in one weekend because he was like, wow, they're all a little loose. I'm super obsessive too, but Dash is so the opposite of that. I don't even know if genetically he's ours. Maybe he is the doctor's kid because I don't know where this comes from, but he just lets them come out. He just lets them fall out. Like, he doesn't want to do anything. He doesn't wiggle them. He's had a wiggly tooth for like 6 months. Like, the first one came out, he bit into a waffle and it just came out. Like, he doesn't.
I used to pull mine out. If I got one loose tooth, I was like, obsessed, got to move it, got to make it hurt a little bit. Like, I'd twist, like,
twist it.
Yeah, it's got to hurt a little bit. You're like, oh, it's
you know it's working.
Yeah, you're like, that one, I shouldn't twist that far, but I'm going to. And then it comes out, it's a gusher. It's a gusher. Well, Jen, should we go talk about something to spice up this conversation so we're not just talking about freaking gross stuff? Let's talk about some hot flashes. I'm going to speak candidly, and I only can hope that he sees this or hears this because I feel like he's the kind of guy that would appreciate this. My hot flash today is Ryan Reynolds, and it's a couple different things. So,
okay.
I don't know if anybody else felt like this, but when Ryan Reynolds sort of hit the scene, I was like, you're a good looking guy, but I think you're kind of a dick. Like, you're not the guy that I want to have a crush on. You're the guy that I don't want to have a crush on and I have a crush on.
That isn't what I thought you were going to say.
No.
I thought you were going to say you're a good looking guy, but you're a little bit cross-eyed, which some people find very attractive.
Yeah, no, I find attractive because he was just kind of like slick. And I was like, yeah. And then enter Blake Lively, and he's got two kids and he's this like hilarious dad.
Yes.
And I'm all in. I'm like, I have a Ryan Reynolds reboot. It came full tilt when like his tweets about being a dad are fantastic. He's madly in love with Blake Lively. How could you not be? She's a supreme being.
Yeah. She's really beautiful.
She's so beautiful. And the thing that I like about him is when that terrible Peloton commercial came out where the girl got the Peloton from the boyfriend, and unfortunately the ad did not work and Peloton got a ton of heat, and Ryan Reynolds swooped in and got that girl that was in the ad who took so much, like, she's just an actress in a commercial, you know? And like, she got so much crap, but
she's just getting a paycheck.
He put her in one of his tequila commercials to sort of like even the playing field, which I thought was awesome, but that's not the most awesome thing. The reason I have a hot flash.
And he makes tequila.
He makes tequila. Bury the lead on that one, right? Okay. So Ryan Reynolds saw on CNN that this little girl lost her teddy bear in Vancouver, and Ryan Reynolds went to social media and offered whoever found it $5,000. And the reason The reason is because that teddy bear had a recording of the girl's late mom. And so he put – I know I got chills in it. They're multiplying. He put an ad on – or an ad. Hi, I'm 100. He put a post up and got the teddy bear back for the little girl. And I just love that. He makes me – I don't know. I'm all into Ryan Reynolds, and anything I thought about you before has gone away, and we're totally good.
All right. Okay. He's earned it back with me. That's
Yep. And that's my hot flash.
I just want to call him and be like, you did the right thing.
If you want to call us Ryan Reynolds, you can at any time, and I will recant the first comment, and I just think you were probably misunderstood, and I'm wrong. I'm wrong, you're right.
Ryan Reynolds, I am not going to do anything sexual with you. I just want to like tell you how impressed I am because I have a terrible back injury. It gets me out of blowjobs. I am useless. I also can't say my R's very well. I relate that to the back injury as well.
So, yeah, there. Ryan Reynolds,
I could never date you.
Ryan Reynolds,
sorry.
Your loss. Your loss
is my husband's loss. Also,
yeah, my husband can't even date me. Let's be honest. Everybody's mm-hmm. going through the shit right now.
You guys follow us on I Mom So Hard podcast on YouTube. On Instagram, you can find us on imomsohard.com and imomsohard on Facebook. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye. Have a good day.